Hey, everybody. I'm Scott Story. Welcome to my podcast, Despite the Limits. After more than 30 years of serving in Army Special Operations units, first in the 75th Ranger Regiment, then as a Green Beret, and finally in the Civil Affairs Regiment, I decided to retire. And I quickly learned that change was hard. But more importantly, I realized that I wasn't done helping leaders grow. So I created this podcast to allow us to walk this journey together. After all, journeys are better when someone travels along with you. My intent for this podcast is to help you navigate your own growth through leadership development and realize that you can succeed despite the limits. So let's go. Welcome to episode number 8 of the Despite the Limits podcast. I'm excited to spend some time with you as you move through your journey in leadership development and personal growth, and I'm honored that we can spend the next few minutes together talking communication and leadership. Now, this episode was a little bit hard for me to develop because I had to take a look at some of my previous engagements as a leader, and I gotta be honest, it wasn't pretty. That said, by sharing this with you, perhaps you can avoid this mistake yourself or recognize it in yourself and make the necessary changes to be better. As you are navigating your interactions with the people that you lead, from time to time, consider asking this question. What is it like being on the other side of me? Now, two things will happen when you do this. First, you'll surprise the heck out of them because most leaders aren't willing to be that vulnerable. This is a good thing, and it'll go a long way in building the trust that you have with them. Now, brace yourself for the second thing, because if you've built a climate where people feel they may completely trust you, the second thing that will happen is you will learn more about how you lead than you realized was possible, and sometimes it isn't a pretty picture. But if you're willing to listen with the intent to understand, I promise you, you will grow. You'll become a better leader, and the people you lead, along with all your organization, will benefit from this. Now, sometimes we have built a culture of trust, but maybe we don't have the courage to ask the question, hey, what's it like on the other side of me? And your people will answer it anyway. Let me encourage you to listen when they muster that courage, when they tell you something that you didn't ask. Here's an example. I used to be a yeller. Yeah, I know. You listen to me on the podcast or on the stage somewhere, and you hear my easygoing conversational voice, and you find it hard to believe, but I assure you it's true. I actually had a sergeant major counsel a team to get squared away before my arrival because, I quote, I've been yelled at by Major Story, and I don't want to know what it's like to be yelled at by Colonel Story. You see, I operated from this belief that holding my anger in was unhealthy, and the best way to get it out was by just exploding with yelling. I had no idea or even concern about what it did to the people around me. After all, none of them were either the cause of my frustration nor the target of what I was yelling about at that particular moment. They just happened to be in the blast radius. Now, in 2013, I was a recently promoted colonel assigned to Special Operations Command Africa, or SOCAF, as the J3, the Director of Operations. The global war on terrorism included operations on the African continent, though they weren't highly publicized at the time. But anyway, we would get questions from the joint staff that would sometimes border on ludicrous. And generally, when one of these would come in, I would launch into one of my venting tirades, which put my staff on edge, something that I was blissfully unaware of until one day my deputy Sam and my current operations chief Bill confronted me about it. Now, Bill and Sam informed me that the staffers from Washington weren't trying to second-guess us or make things difficult for us. They just didn't have the experience to comprehend some of our terminology or some of our concepts. And we talked about this for a few minutes, and I remember saying something like, hey, I yell because these questions place additional work on us as a staff, and it upsets me. I'm not yelling at you. But Bill responded to me with words that I'll never forget. but you are yelling at me. In that moment, I came to understand a few things. First and foremost, yelling by a leader is never helpful. Even if the staff isn't the object of your vent, they will feel the weight of it as the recipients. And this weight is heavier as you move up the chain. Look, no one really cares if the lieutenant is freaking out. But when the colonel freaks out, then everybody assumes there must be a problem. I also realized that if I kept making it painful for my staff to bring me issues, they would stop bringing me issues, and that would not be a good thing. I was literally creating an environment in which my staff would keep me ignorant of the very things I needed to know and would then lack the guidance they needed from me so that together we could develop solutions. In short, I was a toxic leader. Or at least I displayed a toxic leadership trait. Now that day, I committed to ending this behavior, and it took me some concentrated effort to overcome it. I remember Bill put a sticky note on the back of his access badge that said, "Please don't yell at the J-33." And then when he would bring me bad news, he would have his badge flip so that I could see that note before he began to speak. And it helped me think before I ever started hearing him tell me the problem, and therefore controlled my response. Now look, I'm really grateful for Bill's efforts, but I'm also sad that I drove him to need to do something like that. Thankfully, I got a pretty good grip on this before my next assignment, and when I transitioned there, it wasn't really an issue. Now this story is a good reminder of a key job that we have as leaders, and that is to develop a climate where candor is accepted, and maybe better yet, expected, where people feel like it's okay to take risks, an environment where the team feels they can express their ideas and their concerns, where they are free to ask questions and admit mistakes without fear of negative consequences. Now, the term for this is psychological safety. And it's something that a leader needs to understand and an environment that they need to foster. Amy Gallo explored this in an article that she wrote in the Harvard Business Review back in February of 2023 called "What is Psychological Safety?" And I'll put a link to that article in the show notes if you want to check it out. Now, in the article, she talks about what psychological safety is and how leaders can go about building it on their own teams. Because when people feel safe, they are more engaged and motivated because they believe that their contributions matter and they're able to speak up without the fear of reprisal. And a leader losing their cool will squash this feeling immediately. Now, there's some other benefits as well. When the organization has an environment of psychological safety, it leads to better decision making because, well, people are comfortable voicing their opinions and concerns, often leading to a more diverse range of perspectives being taken into account in any major decision. Also, this type of environment fosters a culture of continuous learning and improvement. That's growth, and you know that I like that. Now, I want you to consider what it looks like when the leader hasn't fostered an environment like this. We see negative impacts on our team members' well-being, things like stress, burnout, high turnover, and an overall lower performance of the organization. Now, cultivating an environment of psychological safety is more art than it is science. But there is science to be aware of if you are or have been prone to some of the bad habits that I had as the SOCAF J3. Stop and recognize what happens if you lose it every time someone brings you bad news. So let's think about our primitive brain. You know, it's still in our heads, even though we're thousands of years advanced from our days as Neanderthals. We have functions in our body that are governed by our autonomic nervous system, and they're broken into two distinctive divisions. There's the sympathetic system, and there's the parasympathetic system. And they are both involuntary, but they both impact our mental state significantly. Now, the sympathetic system is responsible for preparing our bodies for immediate, strenuous physical activity. I want you to think like you're hiking through the woods and you suddenly encounter a bear on the trail. It is your sympathetic nervous system that controls your fight, flight, or your freeze responses. This happens with all perceived danger. The body cannot distinguish between the threat of a large predator or being yelled at by your boss with a real fear of reprisal. On the other side of the spectrum is the parasympathetic system, which regulates the functions of rest and digest. It is here where we can think and respond rather than react. It is when our parasympathetic nervous system is in control that our higher intelligent functions occur, and we can then make legitimate human connections. You see, human connection does not happen in the heightened state of fight, flight, or freeze. Let me recommend to you Scott Mann's Rooftop Leadership podcast, because he talks about this a lot. Now, I'll leave a link to episode number 306, People Won't Follow You Unless They Feel Safe. Scott's been publishing a series that he calls Waterline Articles, and they're based on the writings of T.E. Lawrence, also known as Lawrence of Arabia. And at the time I'm recording this, I think he's on article number 18 out of 27. These are absolutely worth listening to. So anyway, take some time to evaluate where your team is, and then take steps to create that environment of psychological safety. A culture where people feel safe to work together, and they know that they can share bad news with you without you jumping on them with both feet. I have found it good to start each day with the assumption of positive intent on everybody's part. Nobody gets up in the morning saying, you know what, I'm going to screw it up today. Now, if you find that your team doesn't feel safe, they don't have that kind of environment, you can correct that, and you start with you. You do what is right, you treat others the way that you want to be treated, and remember that they are always asking three questions. Can I trust you? Are you committed? Do you care about me as a person? And when your team understands that the answer to each of these questions is an unequivocal yes, you are well on your way to a great team. All right, that's all I have for this episode. Thanks for letting me join you for a small part of your journey. Hey, if this content is resonating with you, if you want to learn more about leadership and personal development and even human connection, then like, subscribe, and comment wherever it is that you consume your podcasts, and then look for new episodes to be released on the second and the fourth Friday of each month. I hope that each time we're together, you feel like your time was well spent, and you walk away from each conversation with something new that you can do today to be a better leader or just to grow a little bit more personally. Hey, also don't forget about the opportunity to join me for a free 4-week virtual mastermind group beginning on May 16th, where we'll look at and discuss a few chapters in John Maxwell's book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. If this is something you're interested in, just check out the footer in the show notes and you'll find a link to my website where you can fill out a contact form and let me know that you want to participate in that. Hey, you'll also find links to my LinkedIn and Facebook pages there too, and I'm happy to talk to you through those as well. Feel free to reach out to me through those sites, and I welcome an opportunity to speak to you further. That's a wrap on this episode. Thanks for letting me join you for a part of your journey. Look, as you're striving to become a leader, remember that challenges make life interesting, but overcoming them makes it meaningful. You can succeed despite the limits. Until next time, friends.